right, let me welcome everyone to this year's series. 13 parts, because they're 13 pillars. Discussing the 13 Ikarim, the fundamentals of the Rambam, that are the pillars of the Jewish faith. People always wonder, what do Jews believe? And there's an urban myth that we're defined by only mitzvahs, and not by creed, that we don't really have to believe anything, as long as we do mitzvahs. That's really a mistake. It's a clear mistake, because we stand for something in the world of ideas. That's what we contribute first and foremost. If you think about it, a few times, last week, Sedra, and the week before that, and I think in the one following, not this week though, there's a phrase you find a few times, Vayikra b'shem Hashem. Avram built a mizbeach, Vayikra b'shem Hashem. He called the name of God. So what does that mean? He built an altar and erected a podium and started screaming, Hashem, 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 just calling out God's name. People think he's insane if he did that. No, there are people who do that. But what it means is that what Avram did was proclaim God's character, so to speak. What is God? What does God mean to us as individuals, to the world? What can we understand about God? Of the 13 Ikarim, the first four are more abstract because they deal with our understanding of God. The last nine deal with what God wants man to perceive, so it's more easy for us to relate to. But nonetheless, the Yudgimel Ikarim of the Rambam, you take it, there should be a copy here for you. The Yudgimel Ikarim of the Rambam, they are the principles by which we define ourselves as Jews. A yesod is a foundation, an ikar is a pillar, it's a proposition on which the entire structure rests, and without which the structure would collapse. Now the fundamental ideas of Yadus, and I concede that it's a little different a topic from the last few years, and by the way I want to mention again and thank Becky and Avi Katz for sponsoring this year's series, L'il Nishmas Yonah ben Rabbi Leib. The fundamental ideas that we speak about, the Gimel Ikarim that are enshrined, for example, in the Ani Mamin, they're not beliefs, and it's not a question of faith, it's not based on faith. But as the Rambam perceives it, the logical principles, the foundation of Yadus, is these 13 principles of the Rambam, and it's not a question of I believe in them. A belief is something which, in the common perception, is not based on any knowledge. We say ani mamin, for example, belief is a poor translation. Mamin is from the word amen. Amen doesn't mean I believe. Amen means that I confirm, I verify, I subscribe to this, I profess that. Someone says, Hamotzi lecha min haaretz, blessing God. And a listener answers amen, he means, I verify that. I subscribe to that as well. A logical proof differs from a physical proof in an extent it's less satisfying than a physical proof, although it doesn't have to be. Physical proofs are more satisfying emotionally to the senses. But the truth is, and philosophers of science will tell you, that even physical proofs are based on an underlying logical proof. That is, for example, you have to assume in science that the results of one experiment can be duplicated. But that itself is based on logic. That's not based on anything else. So logical proofs, though, are more satisfying intellectually. To prove something, say, in a mathematical theorem is even more satisfying than getting the results of a test in a laboratory. It's a difficult area to understand. I mentioned especially the first few are very abstract. Philosophy is an area of study that involves the way we live our lives, and therefore the exposure to new ideas is often met with a certain emotional resistance. So one should be aware of that when listening to the ideas or raising questions. But I think the very first one, the first yesod, the first ikar, the first pillar of the Rambam, is one that's easy enough for us to tolerate, because it really is the foundation of all of Yadus. By way of
introduction, the Yigimli Karm of the Rambam are found in the Rambam's Perish HaMishnayis, his commentary on the Mishnah in Sanhedrin, in before Parak Chelek. And these 13 fundamentals that we'll discuss are those to which all Jews subscribe. Now there's some questions whether all of them are necessarily Yesodos. Questions, what's the status of a person who does not subscribe to one or the or another? There are some that are disputed, we'll see a little later on, but most of the differences that you find in the Rishonim amongst the philosophers is only in terms of classifications. Not whether something is true or false, not whether a proposition is accepted or not, but is it really a fundamental? And as we know, Rabbi Yosef Albo, in the Sefer HaIkarim, he condensed the Rambam's 13 principles into three. I guess by his time, the attention span had diminished. Couldn't have a full 13. Much shorter series. No one disputes the first, so let's look at number one. The Rambam's Yesod HaRishon, Lehaamin Mitzius HaBorei Yisbarach, to verify, confirm the existence of the Creator, blessed be He. V'hu, Sheyesham Nimsa Sholem B'chol Dakei HaMitzius, and that is to accept that there is a being who is perfect in every manner of existence. There is only one perfect entity, one perfect being, that's HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Who ilas mitzius hanimsoim kulam. He himself is the primary cause of every manner of existence. He's the cause of everything else that exists. Bo kiyu mitziusam. In him, everything else is able to exist. Umimenu kiyumam. And their existence is from him. We'll return to this in a few moments, but the principle to be articulated here in English is that in the universe there is only one necessary existence, and that's HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Everything else, including everyone here tonight, and everything around us, is a contingent existence. It's conditional. It need not exist. It only exists because of God's will. V'al'yala al-halev hedem mitziyoso. Therefore, you should not entertain the thought of the absence of his existence. Ki beheda mitziuso, in the absence of his existence, nisbatla mitzius kala nimsaim, lo nisha nimsa shetiskai mitziuso. If you would entertain that God does not exist, nothing else would exist. It would be impossible. The question the child always asks, who created God? So the answer, children always ask this question, 5, 6, whenever they start thinking in more abstract areas. And the correct answer to a child of 6 is to tell them, my dear child, God is necessary existence, all else is contingent existence, and therefore you can't ask who created God. If there is no God, then there is no existence. And every child will walk away satisfied. V'imnala alibeinu hedah nimtzayim kulam zulaso. If we would entertain the thought of the absence of existence of everything else but him, lo tizbata mitzius Hashem yizbarach v'lo sigareya. If nothing else in the world in existence but God, it wouldn't have any effect on him at all. We say this on the Dalam, by the way. Ulevado yimloch noray. Be alone. A single entity. Vein ha'achtus va'adnus elo lo levado. Unity, mastery is only his. Ki hu mistapek b'mtziuso v'daylo be'atzmo. God himself, so to speak, is self-sufficient, needs nothing else. Vein tzorch b'mtziuso lezuloso. He does not need for his existence any other entity. V'chol mashe zuloso. Anything else that exists. Minas cholim, like the intelligences, I'm here first to the spheres, or to the angels, Ritzalam ha-malachim, gufa gagalim, mashalamata mehem, what's beneath them, meaning in our world, hakol tzichim imtziusam elov, everything else is dependent on God's existence, v'zeh ha-yesod ha-rishon, that's the first principle, the foundation, moreh olav adibur, that is taught to us by the pasuk, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, I am the Lord your God. Of course, you can ask very cogently, what's the proof from that pasuk? You need, of course, it's almost a tautology, because you need to accept the pasuk to accept the proposition of the pasuk. So how then does the pasuk prove itself that God is Anochi Hashem Elokecha? Now the Rambam codified this in Hilchos Yisodei HaTorah, the very beginning of the Yad HaChazaka, and that's the number 3. And it's very interesting. We'll get to this in a moment, because this concept, this Yisod, L'hamim Mitzius Habori Yisbarach, is not just the Yisod or an Iker, it's also a mitzvah. The first mitzvah the Rama mentions is Leida Sheyeshem Eloka. We're obligated to know that there's a God. Shenemar Anoch Hashem Elokecha. All of which begs the question, how do you have a mitzvah? How do you command someone to know something? Either know it or you don't know it. What's the mitzvah involved? In any event, the Rama begins, we'll get back to that in a few moments. Hilchos Yisodei HaTorah, Perek Aleph, Halacha Aleph. Yisoda Yisodos V'Amar HaChochmos. The pillar of all pillars, I should say the foundation of all foundations, and the pillar of all wisdom, note the Yud Kei Vav Kei with which he began the Yad HaChazaka, is Leida Sheyesho Motzei Rishon. It's to know that there's a first, a primary existence. V'umamtzi kol nimsa, he caused everything else to exist. V'chol nimsaim mishamayim v'aretz u'mashe beinehem lo nimsu ela me'amit hatzimotzo. Anything that exists in heaven and earth, what's between them, only exists because of the reality of his existence. That is to say, Leidas Yeshua Motzi Rishon, our knowledge must be in line with reality. Our knowledge must be close to Chachma. So it's not just Yisoda Yisodos, which defines us as a nation, but rather it's the pillar of all wisdom. And we'll see, in fact, we'll discuss this Iker as it relates to Bri'as Olam, creation. Without this, this is, of course, a very hot topic even today. God's role in creation and the persistence of man, as some elements of mankind, to deny that and to try to propose a godless creation and a godless world. So that, of course, is the antithesis of Yadus. That cannot be at all finessed or somehow harmonized with Yadus. Halacha beis, v'miyala al adashu eino matzui, ein dovar chayecholi matzos. If you would think that he doesn't exist, nothing would exist. Gimel, v'miyala adashu ein kol nitsa milvada mitzui, huluvadi matzui. If you would think that nothing else really exists, then he could still exist. It is to say, the nature of God and the nature of all his creations, fundamentally opposed, different, fundamentally different. V'yevatel hulavi tulam, he's not nullified if everything else is nullified. Shekolanim tzim shechim lo, hu baruchu enotzarach lehem. Everything in existence needs him. He needs nothing, not them, no one else. His reality is different than the reality of everything else in creation. Dalit, that's what the Navi meant, Yeshayo, when he said Hashem Elokim Emes, which we embrace as the end of Kriyat Shema. What does it mean that God is truth? It means that God's existence is ultimate reality. That's truth. There's only one ultimate reality, and that's God. Nothing else has that same reality, because everything else need not exist, including ourselves. Only he is reality. There's no reality like his. That's what the Torah means. Dvar, we say, ain od milavado. There's nothing besides him. Klomar, ain shul motzui emes milavado kamosu. There's no reality in existence comparable to him or apart from him. Hey, Hamotzui Hazeh, this existence, who Elokei Olam Adon Kol Haaretz, is the God of the universe, the master of the world, who Amanig Agalgal Bekach Shein Elokei Tzutachlis. He's the one who administers the spheres that also have, there's no end. He guides everything. Bekach she'en lo hesek. Shagalgal sovev tamid v'yafshar she'yosu below misavev. Because the spheres are always in motion, and something in you can't have anything in motion unless something puts it in motion. V'hu baruchu ha'misavev osa b'loyadu v'loguf. And he, God, is the one who puts this in motion without having any physical properties. V'yadiyas dover zeh mitaseh. Knowing this is a positive commandment. Shenemar anochi Hashem Elokecho. Here we come to a problem, of course. The problem is that this notion of Ein, of Eifshar Sheyosu Velo Misavev, Ein Sovev Veli Misavev, was based on Aristotelian physics that we won't expound tonight, except to say that Newton refuted it with his law of inertia. So now you have bodies that are in motion, even though there's no Misavev. You could have that in a non-gravity atmosphere. So what is the pshat? So this I heard from my Rebbe already, and I think it's very important to understand, because the Rambam says, Yedias Dover Zed, knowing this mitzaseh. If it's not true, how could it be a mitzaseh? How could it be knowledge? And the answer is, and this is critical, is that halacha is insufficient. Halacha is, because it's a mitzvah, it's a positive commandment. It's insufficient for a Jew merely to profess that there's a perfected being. Or to say, I believe in God as a perfected being. That's not the mitzvah. Rather, one must be able to recognize the being from the universe. That's Yedias Dover Zeh. That is to say, a Jew has to understand that the universe cannot be logically explained without God. There's always an unbridgeable gap, therefore, between Bereishis Bara Elokim and whatever science can ascertain. It's in the front pages today, the argument over this. But the fact is, as much as the new atheists squawk like geese about the ability to fashion a world that does not have a creator, nonetheless, they're missing the essential information. They're missing that crucial element. How did matter come into existence? How did energy come into existence? That they can't explain. The fanciful explanations for it, we don't have that. See, Yedias Dover Zeh means that a Jew in every generation has to be able to understand the science of the times and see HaKadosh Baruch Hu in that universe. That is the obligation. That's Yedias Dover Zeh. The idea of God must relate to our minds always through knowledge of reality. And that is the Metzius Hashem, God's existence, is expressed in terms of the reality of the universe. Now you see, it's not only an Iker, but the Rambam has it as a mitzvah as well. Just to end Vav, B'chol hamala al daito she'esham eloka acher chutz mizeh, whoever would entertain the prospect that there is some other power besides God, so he not only denies Anoch Hashem Elokecha, but he also violates the law of Lo Yia L'chol Hemacher Malponoi, which continues as Sarsa Dibros, V'kofer Be'ikar, and he denies the fundamental principle Shezehu Ikar Agorol Shakol Toloi Bo. This is the great principle on which everything else depends. So the question we could ask also is, what's the difference between an Ikar and a Mitzvah? What is the difference? Here you have both. Some of the Ikarim we'll see are not mitzvos. The next one is, the third and fourth are not. What's the difference? So every mitzvah has a tzura, by definition. A mitzvah has a form. Every mitzvah has a form to it by which we do it. There's a mitzvah nachas tefillin, there's a form. Mitzvah shmir Shabbos, there's a form to the mitzvah. This mitzvah, Leida Sheyeshem Eloka, Leida Hashem, Ha'amonas Hashem, has a Maisei HaMitzvah as well. What's the Maisei HaMitzvah? It's Leida. It's to study knowledge, like we're doing now, like a Jew can do it any time, study the universe, and see the reality of God from the universe. So every mitzvah has a tzura and has a kiyum. So to hear. The tzura is to study the knowledge. The kiyum is when the Jew has the knowledge. That's the mitzvah. An ikar is something different. And Ikar is a fundamental principle that defines the group. When we speak of the Yigimul Ikarim, we mean that we are a group, that is to say, Jews, whose identity is defined by these 13 propositions. So this group of the people that embrace the Ikarim, they're the group who are fit, who are Re'uyim, who are appropriate for the Asiyas HaMitzvahs, for performing these mitzvahs. So in fact, you see, there's no mitzvah to accept the Ikarim. The Ikarim stand by themselves. One who doesn't accept the Ikarim has excluded himself from the group that's Ra'oi LeMitzvahs. So in fact, the Ikarim presuppose the ticket of entry into Klal Yisrael, into being a functioning, practicing Jew. Now, I concede that you could have a Jew who fulfills the mitzvos as a non-believer. Such a thing is possible. What's the value of those mitzvos? See, Yerushalmi, that seems to imply that there is a value to it. That God says, Halavai, Osi Ozvu, they should abandon me, but still do the mitzvos. But that's not the point. That rhetorical statement is not the conclusion. The conclusion is, Halavai, they should do the mitzvos, because if they continue to do the mitzvos, they will come to accept me. That's the point of that Yerushalmi in Chagiga. Not as you find sometimes in the popular literature, it's explained, just do the mitzvos, and don't think about God. People daven like that also, by the way. Just do the mitzvos, but don't think about God. No, no, no. That's not how we look at the world. Those are vacuous mitzvos. There's a value to it in terms of leading a disciplined life, but that's not the purpose of the Torah. And certainly one will never achieve a kiruv lamakom, certainly, but even will not achieve the benefit of the mitzvos through that philosophy. But what the Ikarim do, we're a group that share common ideas. A person who rejects those ideas is a kofer, it's not bikaris. So therefore you have these demarcations, these delineations in Jewish life. A person who, the simplest question I'm always asked, always, I would say a dozen times a year, can you give a bracha under the chuppah to someone who's not religious? Rabbanim get this question all the time. So the answer is, what do you mean by not religious? If a guy's not a Shomer Shabbos, it's one thing. But let's say the guy's not a Shomer Shabbos, believes in God. For a person to say a bracha, Baruch Atah Hashem, Elokeinu Yetzer Adam, if he doesn't believe in God, then it's empty words. If he believes in God, but let's say his knowledge of God is distorted somewhat, he doesn't accept the mitzvahs, it's a different problem he has. But a person is appropriate for a bracha. He's kasher lebracha if at least he believes in a Kadosh Baruch Hu, because then he believes in what he's saying. So an ikar is what defines us as a group. We're Jews bounded by these ikarim, by these principles. Once we accept these principles, then we're the nation that is given the mitzvahs as well. That's why every ikar that we see that the Rambam presents is based on a pasuk. It's really not a tautology, because the basis for the acceptance of the Ikarim is that we accept Sinai. It's interesting. Sinai itself is not an Ikar. Sinai is an historical event. We'll get back to that a little later on in the year. Sinai is an historical event. If you're at Sinai, then the Torah itself is self-verifying. That's why the Rambam can quote it as the proof. Sinai is the experience that we all had from which these ideas came. Once we're defined then through these ideas, then the world of mitzvos can become mandatory. Now, there's a whole discussion of Rishonim as to whether this pasuk, Anoch Hashem Elokecha, is in fact a mitzvah. What do you say? Well, the Rambam says it is. You should know, by the way, the Christians don't accept it as a mitzvah, so they list the Ten Commandments. The Rav Sajagon, and we'll see in a moment, the Bahag also did not accept Anoch Hashem Elokecha as a mitzvah. They said, it can't be a mitzvah, it's the very foundation of everything. But, let's understand, the Rambam said it is a mitzvah, Anoch Hashem Elokecha. So we understand a little about what Anochi means now, But what's the mitzvah involved? How did the Rambam deduce that it is a mitzvah? He did from the Gemara in Makos, Daf Chaf Gimel Beis, at the bottom of the Daf, in number 4. Darash Rav Simlai, Sheish Meos Ushlosh Esrei Mitzvos Nemru Lola Moshe. The 613 mitzvos given to Moshe, 365 mitzvos losase, lavin, kiminin imosa chamo, like the solar year, 248 keneged evar shalom, fine, 613 in all. Amar Hamnuna, Mikra, how do you know the 613? Because the pasuk says, Torah tzivalano Moshe, Marasha kilos Yaakov. Moshe commanded us a Torah. What's Torah in Gematria? 611. Moshe commanded us 611 mitzvos. Torah begematria shismeo v'chadsri have. So therefore, Moshe commanded us 611. Anochi v'loyia lecha mipi ha-gavura shmanunu. The first two mitzvos were given to us not by Moshe, but directly from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. God said to us, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, Asher Tisich, etc., Li'icha Lehem Achim Aponoi, etc., finishing that Dibra. And then, of course, as we know from late in the Torah, the people pleaded with Moshe and said, we don't want to hear God anymore. V'atudaber elenu, you speak to us. It's too overpowering to hear the message direct from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In any event, you see from the Gemara, that's how the Rambam understood Anochi is a mitzvah. Because it says, God told us two mitzvahs. One was Anochi. The Ramban agreed. You see in the Ramban's commentary in the Sefer Mitzvos, Mitzvos Aleph in number 5, the Rambam agreed that the Emunah, that with the Rambam, that Anochi is a mitzvah, but he quotes the Bahag. If you skip down a little, you see there's a Beis, and he says the Bahag had to have a different count. He did not enumerate this as one of Tayag. Vahanir midaito shobal halochos she'ein minin Tayag mitzvos elegzera sovius ala shegozer lin lasos o manana shlo nasa. The Baal Halachos, the Bahag, said that the count of 630 mitzvos are God's decrees. He told us what to do or what not to do. Avol ha'emuna b'metziu so yisale, but the confirmation of his existence, the exalted, shehodia osa eleinu, ba'osos u'b'mosim, u'b'gile ashchina le'eneinu, he revealed it to us. He made us aware of it through signs and wonders and revelation before our eyes. Hu ha'ikar v'ashoresh shemimenu noldu ha'mitzvos lo yimna v'cheshvanon. That is the foundation. That's the root from which all the mitzvos grow in the count. Now the Ramban disagrees but with the Bahag and agrees with the Rambam. But nonetheless, you understand where the Bahag was coming from. Anochi Hashem Elokecha is the founding principle of Yadus. It's interesting. The Rambam takes from there and launches into a discussion of creation, as we'll see in a moment. But Anochi Hashem Elokecha does not relate to creation at all. The famous question of the Kuzari. God didn't say, I am the Lord your God who created heaven and earth. I'm the Lord your God who took you out of Egypt. That's what God said. So why? He goes into it because people were witnesses to that Gilui Shechina, to Yetzias Mitzrayim, the Exodus. We were not witnesses to creation. No man was. That's why it's such an elusive mystery. It's an enigma, because we weren't around to understand. And especially since, as Chazal say, so I get amused watching the scientists struggle with each other on occasion, the laws of nature were not fixed until the first Shabbos came, right before Shabbos. Erev Shabbos Ben HaShemashos. So if that's the case, you're trying to formulate or understand creation based on laws of nature that exist now but did not exist then. That's an unenviable and almost completely frustrating process, but nonetheless it's done. In any event, a Jew is obligated, based on this mitzvah, to think to himself or to herself, at least to walk through the area every now and then, of understanding God as Anochi Hashem Elokecha. We look at God's existence. So how do we see God's existence? So granted, firstly through the Brias Olam, as the Rambam understands it. You look at creation, a Jew could never say, it's a big ending today, you know, with Darwin, evolution. So let's state for a moment that a person can believe in an evolutionary process, we'll see in a moment in the Rishonim, but can never maintain that it happened without the Manhig, without God. If anything, if you look at the way the world developed, according to science and according to Torah, unless you want to attribute it to an astounding randomness that somehow came out and produced life here and nowhere else, a randomness that would not be accepted elsewhere, then one is led to only one conclusion. And it's fascinating, especially the last, I would say, 20, 30 years, the notion of the moment of creation being synonymous with the Big Bang, that burst of matter into energy that powered everything else that came, that has a subset of scientists excited, because from that you understand how the process of creation unfolded, and when you understand that it couldn't happen on its own, but it had to have a source, a Matsui Rishon, then everything seems to fall into place. Granted, we'll never be able to trace back before the Matsui Rishon, or said a better way, we'll never be able to understand the creative nature of the Matsui Rishon. But nonetheless, that's where, and as someone wrote many years ago, the theologians and the scientists will meet at that particular point. Well, how is this Ikkar important to us? Well, obviously in terms of Metzias Hashem, God's existence is critical. We see it in creation. We see it also in the what's called the watchmaker's theory, that it just belies credulity to be able to state that a world of such complexity, for that matter, human beings of such complexity, can just arise without there being an intelligence guiding it. It just strains our ability to believe in chance or coincidences. There's no such coincidence that could even remotely approach what would be what's purported to be that great coincidence, as if an explosion billions of years ago somehow culminated in us sitting here tonight discussing these areas. It boggles the mind if you would try to portray that as a theory in any other realm to be laughed off the stage. That's how odds-defying it is. And of course, as Jews, and I think this is one of the points of our series last year, and what Chazal wanted, as the Kuzari understood, in seeing Anoch Hashem Elokecha in terms of Yetzias Mitzrayim, is that there's certain things we look at the world, we look at human history, and we see the Mitzias Hashem there. The fact that we were set aside so many years ago, Avraham Avinu was born, now it's 3,700, almost 3,800, a little over 3,800 years ago. The fact that Avraham Avinu was born 3,822 years ago and set aside as God's agent in the world, and that he should have descendants who relate to him directly, both physically and ideologically, and still carry his message to the world, notwithstanding the multitude and variety of enemies that have come our way over time, from his time until today, that also defies all types of odds. There's no nation with our history, there's no nation that has struggled with tenacity to remain loyal to that notion of our being God's agents in the world, with a price and the blood to show for it. And therefore, if one wants to see the existence of God in the world, so look to Klal Yisrael. As we continue to exist, in fact, the Psukim say that our eternity is really the proof of God's existence. The fact that the Jewish people are indeed indestructible. Rambam doesn't mention any of this, because that's the historical proof. It's not based on logic necessarily. It's more based on a sense that Jews have, looking at the world in a way in which only one rational conclusion can be made. The Rambam saw this Ikkar, though, as rooted in Briyas Olam, in God as the Borei. Look at number 6. The Rambam discusses this area to the bottom of the first page in the Mor Nevuchim as well. Chelek Sheni Perik Gimel. Hadas Arishon Udas Komi Shemamin Taras Moshe Rabbeinu Alav Shalom. The first knowledge that we have, the knowledge that one, that anyone who confirms Taras Moshe has to accept. Hu shalom bichlalo ratzalomar kol nimsa milvana boris barach Hashem imtziu acher heder hagomur, that the entire universe, aside from the Creator willed it into existence from nothing. Hashem yisbarach levado nimsa v'lodav v'lodav, nothing else exists but for His will and according to His will. If you turn the page, look at Rabbeinu Bathya, there is a fascinating inyan. You'll file this away about God as the Borei Olam. So the beginning of the Torah, Bereishis Bara Elokim, he speaks about the word gracious. V'hu ki'ilu oma barishona, at first, v'aid al zed tam amila, and it testifies to the meaning of the word. That was the very first thing, Borei Elokim, God created what He created. V'inyan ha'parsha, the whole point of this parsha is Kashemai Varat and told Oseam Nivru Biomarishon me ayin gamur umafisla muchlatas, that the heavens and the earth with all their constituent elements were created the first day from absolute and utter nothingness. That's Lashon Bara. Bara means Yesh me ayin, something from nothing, as opposed to Yatsar. Yatsar means to form something from something. Vizel Dasar Nechemya Shebayomarishon Nivr Kola Olam. Listen to this. Reb Nechemya said in the Medrash that on the first day everything was created, the whole world. Shikayit, 7 days, 6 days? No, the first day everything. Shekein Amar B'Medrash of Yehuda, Reb Nechemya, Reb Yehuda said, B'shisha Yomim Nivra Kol Olam. Shekein Ksid B'Masa Kol Yom V'Yom. The Torah specifies Vayichein each day. Reb Nechemya said, B'Yom Echad Nivra Ha'Olam, Yom Risha Nivra Kol Olam, because it said, Totsei Ha'Oretz, let the land give forth, davar shu pakuru muchan biyadami brachus, something already fixed, set from creation. He gives a mashal, we'll understand it very well. Mashal ma davar dome laadam shezara sheis saorim vasachas, like a person who planted 6 barley seeds at one time. Ze yotza biyom rishon, ze b'sheni, ze b'shlishi v'chen kulam. And that's Das Nechemya. Ki hachomer shemimenu hoya hakol nivro b'yom rishon, v'achar kei nivru kol nivro b'shish yomim, mechel kei hachomer kol echad v'echad b'yomo. That's Reb Nechemya's opinion. That there was matter. Matter was created in a singular way on the first day, and everything just, I hate to say the word evolved, but that's the word. Everything grew out of that matter each day in its own time. Like the seeds were planted, everything was in place the first day, and then each day after that, everything sprouted, so to speak, in its own time, based on the Ma'amare Hashem Yisbarach. V'zeu shekasov ki hu amar vayehi. He said, vayehi, it came into existence. Meaning, it already existed in its form. Arman is a similar pshat, by the way, in the Torah. The borrowed from Greek philosophy, this primeval matter, and from that everything else came forth. You need a basic matter, they call tohu vavohu, and from that matter everything else flowed according to God's plan. Everything came from the utterance, from one existence. That's what Rabbeinu Bachya said. Rabbi Nechemya implies an evolutionary process after the first day of creation, but of course a guided evolutionary process. HaKadosh Baruch Hu determined at this point, Shlishi, Revi, Chamishi, Shishi, etc. So to be a Borei, Amitas HaBorei, Ha'amonas Hashem Yisbarach, implies that there's an order to the universe, especially on earth, where every ingredient to support life as we know it exists. In other words, as Rabbi Kaplan Zatzal said, the basis of Yadus, and really the essence of this Iker, is our awareness that existence itself is purposeful, that man has a purpose and man has a meaning, especially because he was created, that is to say, we were created by a purposeful being. And this point is made very eloquently by Rav Hirsch in number 8 in his commentary on Brachos as well, which we find here in the English translation, sparing you my reading it in the original German. At the very beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and Brachos expresses Yeshmei Ayin, that something came from nothing, a fact that forms the foundation stone of the understanding which God's Torah wishes to build up in us. Now, keep this in mind, because this is the critical point. Yeshmei Ayin is not just a philosophical tenet. Us, we believe the world's created from nothing, and this guy may believe it's created from something, and live and let live. No, that's not like that at all. I guess we still say live and let live, but it's not like that. Because if you deny Yeshmei Ayin, there are grave consequences, as our first notes. The contrary belief that matter always existed, like the Greek philosophers believed in the eternity of the universe, eternity. The contrary belief that matter was eternal and only ascribes to the Creator a formative function, which is equally the foundation stone of heathen conception up to this very day, is not only a metaphysical lie which has robbed the theories of mankind as the origin of the world of the truth, that is what actually happened, but is the much further reaching pernicious denial of all freedom of will in God and man, which undermines all morality. Why is that? He explains. If the material was there, was given to the world framer, he could only make the best possible out of that material, but not the absolute best world. All physical and moral evil would then unavoidably lie in the imperfection of the material. It is to say, if we had no concept of Yeshmei Ayin, rather Yeshmei Yesh, not that God created the world out of nothing, but he created the world out of something, we would be forced to say that God had to make do with what existed already, and therefore our free will is limited by the physical that we were given. God himself could not save the world from either physical or moral evil. Man could as little be master of his body as God of the material of the world. Freedom would be absent from the world. Blind, pitiless necessity would rule the world together with its God and its men. That's why we say, Pesach Dvarecha Yair, the very beginning of God's word illuminates, enlightens us, dispels at once this comfortless conception of God, the world, and mankind, Brachos Bar Elokim. Hereby all that follows stands or falls. Everything, all material, all forms, everything existing, has sprung from the completely free, almighty, creative will of God. Still today, the Creator rules completely freely over the material and form of all creatures, over the forces that work in matter, over the laws that govern that working, and over the resulting forms, for it is His free, almighty rule that created the matter, that embodied the forces which work within it, and His law which governs the result. We say, by the way, in davening every day, that God renews creation every day. Creation exists, so it's habit. We're used to it. The fact that we're used to it doesn't give it any more reality than anything else. You know, people got used to the Cold War also. Got used to the Berlin Wall. Got used to the Soviet Union. You get used to a lot of things that don't seem real once they cease to exist. People are used to, they become accustomed to a certain way of looking at the world, and therefore they can't extricate themselves from it. But, and as he ruled, free-willed over his world, he could invest man whom he breathed the spark of his own free-willed nature by this spark with free will over his small world. Therefore, when we think of God as the Borei Olam, it's not just because we're playing scientists, it's because we are playing Torah Jews. We are Torah Jews. If God didn't create the world, or he didn't create the world in the way he said he created the world, Yeshmei Ayin, something from nothing, it means that there are limitations in the world, that man's nature is necessarily limited, our free will is necessarily limited, our choices are constricted, and therefore our sense of responsibility is not really well-founded. We reject completely that notion. We maintain, and this is the first ikkar, that existence is purposeful because the one who created it was purposeful as well. the burden of proof, really, you wouldn't know it by reading the papers today, but the burden of proof is on those who advocate a chance creation, a randomness, nihilism, because the perfect creator does nothing without purpose. So man has purpose, especially the Jew. One who argues that the world really should be disordered or chaotic or as a result of just a spectacular roll of the dice that somehow came up with whatever winning numbers are in dice play, so that's a very heavy burden of proof to meet, because it's astounding to think about it. In the Sefer Chinuch, there's Mitzvah Chof Hei, Ha'amonas B'Metzius Hashem Yisbarach, the confirmation of the existence of God. Lahamin number 9. Lahamin sheyesh la'olam eloa achod shehimsi kol emso. To be a mamin that there is a God who brought into existence all existence. Umikacho v'chefzo haya kol mashehu. And it was only his power, his will. Shehoya v'yil adai ad. Exists and will always exist. That, by the way, this shame is the shame Yud-Kei Vav-Kei. Yud-Kei Vav-Kei, a Yud-Hei and a Vav and a Hei at the end, so that means Havoya. Havoya means existence. When we use that shame, we're talking about, when we use that shame, we're talking about God as the ultimate existence. That's what the shame means. That's why it's a different topic, not for now, but when Moshe came back and asked God, how will I tell the people I spoke to you? God said, tell them, Ekyeh Asher Ekyeh. Not I am that I am, like Charlton Heston heard. Doesn't mean anything. Ekyeh Asher Ekyeh means that I exist and I will exist, meaning I'm ultimate existence. Tell them that. Why that convinced them is a different topic for another time. But nonetheless, that's the shame that we refer to constantly. And this God, and he gave us the Torah. That's an Archei Shem Alakecho. Uperisho ki'ilu amar teidu v'taminu shi'esh la'olam eloka. You should know the world has a God. That's Anochi, I. That's the great I in existence. Shal yifte levavchen l'kachas inyan seisham eldus Mitzrayim umakas Mitzrayim derech mikra. You should never think, don't let your heart be seduced, that your exodus from slavery in Egypt was a coincidence. I did it willfully and supervising, so as, with the supervision. That like God promised our avos. And he ends, Shoresh mitzvah zo ein sarach beyur yadu adover v'nigo l'kol ki amuna azos yisod adas. You don't have to go into in great detail. This is the foundation of our das. Vasher lo yamin baze kofer be'ikar ein lo chelek uzchus im Yisrael. Anyone who denies this denies the essence of everything, the foundation of everything, and there's no share or portion or any rights. What's the mitzvah? Sheyikba b'nafsho sho'em eskein v'sheyia sh'achil of zeh b'shum ponem. He has to establish in his soul the veracity of this proposition that the converse is completely impossible. The Yisod is really summarized in the Shem Havoya, and it's verified historically the Yetzias Mitzrayim as, and the rest of our history. Without it, we don't exist as a people. This is the ground floor. This is the first step. That's what we try to inculcate in all our children, this notion of God's existence. And God created the world, and God guides Klal Yisrael. Everything else flows from that. The second, third, and fourth Ikarim go into different aspects of God's nature that we'll discuss, Seriatim, in the next few weeks. And then we'll go into the Ikarim that really speak to what are God's expectations of us as Jews. Really why he implanted such a people as Klal Yisrael in the world. What can we contribute? What can we accomplish in order that we should be also, like our avos, those who are Vayikra B'Shem Hashem? I thank you all very much.